This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Like many people in Myanmar, the boys weren't hugely political before the protests. But what they saw in the streets changed them. This wasn't about a minor disagreement between two parties. It was about fighting for the right to live their lives without a boot on their necks. The 2021 election had delivered a victory to Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy and delivered a resounding vote of no confidence in the political arm of the Tatmadaw, the nation's military. It's worth noting here that yes, we are compressing some complex things. The elections weren't perfect, and people in areas that were largely non-Burman tend not to support the NLD. The NLD had failed to prevent a genocide, but in a country that was well accustomed to harsh military rule, there remained a better option than a military which saw ruling as its right and its soldiers as separate from the citizens. So, when the military lost a record number of seats, everyone knew what would happen next. The same thing that happened in 1988. The same thing that always happened when the people came a little too close to taking power from their military.
So that happened on February 1st, 2021. And first few days, we didn't know what to do. We knew the military was going to make a coup because when the NLD won the election, that's how it started, right? And then and the military is saying that they cheated. They fucked up the votes and, you know, they make themselves win. It wasn't true. I mean, the military was not going to win at all. Like it was because, like I said, there were changes, you know, people saw those changes and people were saying, yes, if she had one more, you know, like four more years, five more years, she could make a real difference.
Those first few days of protest, everyone says, felt hopeful. Just like our protagonist and Zor, who we met in a previous episode, thousands of young people ran into the streets and found solidarity in the simple politics of fuck that guy.
There were so many people, man. It's insane. Yeah. So in Myawadi, there was, I think, 200,000 people that day.
The marches got bigger every day, and it seemed like nothing could stop them. Briefly, Western news organizations published stories, and everyone hoped that the UN or the US or the EU would show up and the Tatmadaw would be dealt with once and for all.
Yeah. I was trying to film, but then one of the guys pointed the gun at me and I was like, ugh.
But none of that happened. The stories stopped. The West never sent a single bullet or soldier, and the Tatmadaw deployed thousands. Even after a year, all the boys remember the first time they saw the force of the state turned against them. Even before he got out of the border town of Mayawati, Andy saw the Tatmadaw begin to fight back against the movement that had grown up to oppose them. It's a story we heard from everyone we spoke to. Once they began organizing, the cops started trying to infiltrate their groups.
I think police and military started realizing that we are that group too. So then they started trying to like track down. So there was one night where two of the guys almost got arrested and then they ran away. And then we were like, okay, they are kind of following us.
Yeah.
And so after a week, same thing happened. I was living, because I wasn't from Yawadi. They didn't know. I was just a new face. So they didn't really know where I live or, you know. And I always like take like 2-3 taxi just to get to where I was staying.
You're staying with like a friend or something?
Yeah. But
is it the same place or are you like switching up?
No, that was the same place, but it was out of town.
Three of his friends got arrested. They're still in jail. Actually, in jail is the best case scenario, because the Tatmadaw make a habit of executing captured activists. The stakes were life and death at every moment, and covering the movement on a daily basis took its toll on Andy and his brothers, too.
So my younger brother, they were in the capital city, and the first time the military killed someone, they were there. They were in the same protest. So they saw the whole thing, and you know, they were traumatized. And so I thought the second time I went back in, I thought, well, you know, like, it's better to bring them all together with me, like in the same place, and we do it together, than all of us spread out everywhere, you know? And like I say, my family's military, kind of on the military side. So they didn't like that my brothers were going out to protest. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to bring you guys. And yeah, so we did the Yangon protest together, six of us.
They came face to face with the potential cost of their struggle.
They were in Naypyidaw when that happened, the capital city of Myanmar, and it's a military city, so it's very heavily controlled by the military. And the first time they went out to the protest, the military shoot people, and there was like these trucks with the water cannons.
Yeah.
So he got hit by one, and like he wasn't feeling well, so they took him to the ambulance. But then once he got in there, there was a guy without his eyes because they shot like bullets into him. He was fucking traumatized with that. Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
When Andy says Naypyidaw is a military city, he isn't just saying it's a city like Colleen, Texas, or San Diego. Naypyidaw is a city created out of nothing, starting in 2002 to be a capital for Myanmar. If you've seen it at all, it's probably in a TV show that mocks the totalitarian excess of building 7-lane motorways in a city that was, until recently, only populated by the people building it. Top Gear played car football on the empty freeways, and the TV show Dark Tourist also featured the city. Today, it is a real city with a real population, but everything about it was designed to reinforce authority. And yet, the boys and thousands of others took to the streets here. Streets built to reinforce the power of the people they were fighting, to demand that the military listen to them. Andy shows us a picture of the man with his eyes shot out. It looks how you think it would, and it is worth noting that shooting people's eyes out is a time-honored international policing tactic. In 2020, U.S. cops shot more than 115 people in the face with less lethal munitions. 30 suffered permanent damage to their eyes. But in Myanmar, everything escalated several levels higher than that. Shooting out eyes wasn't radical violence for the Tatmadaw. They treated it more like stretching before a run. In one protest, the boys saw some drunk people tossing water bottles at the police. The police responded with live gunfire.
When the police come forward, the people are turned to the back side.
And they retreat.
Yeah, it's running. Very intense situation.
Yeah.
People are running. Some guys throwing rocks back to the police.
Yeah.
That's when the police started shooting.
Andy translated the next part for us.
He was in the protest.
Yeah.
And then they started shooting and he ran away and but he was not in his neighborhood or in his area of the city.
Yeah.
He was somewhere else.
Yeah.
So when they started running, he didn't have anywhere to go. And then someone like accept him at the house. They say come in and he hid. But then I looked at him. So he hid in that house for like 2 hours until the shooting stopped.
It wasn't until they got home that they realized the police had killed someone. In the early days of what became the revolution, people formed tight bonds and made radical commitments in the form of illegal activity, while the Tatmadaw was still scrambling to counter the counter-coup. Everyone felt the clampdown bite at a different time. It took longer than average for the cops to find Amira and her cadre of revolutionaries, but eventually that day came. It came as she and her friends were gathered in a tea shop preparing for an action.
At that time, on that day, they are trying to protest in a Xinjiang province.
Yeah.
So before the protest started, they gathering the people at the tea shop.
Yeah.
They sitting in the table with her teams, about including her 5 people. But she have to go and give the banner to the other groups.
Yeah.
So she's leaving just about like this much. And then the soldiers came into the tea shop and then arrested her teammates.
Yeah.
She's lucky to escape it.
Close.
Really narrow, you know.
So did she leave immediately?
Yeah. So that's how she came here.
Okay.
Because her teammates know her, where she lives, her house and everything. So she have no choice to stay in the Yangon. But she stay organizing her teams to the protest in the Yangon.
From here.
From here.
Yeah. What did her parents think when she had to leave?
So her parents told her the survival is the first. So she can do whatever she wants, and but she have to be on her own.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And then they agree, you know, like if she wants to leave, just leave. If she still want to do the, you know, protesting or whatever she wants, and they not saying no to her.
Yeah. Okay. But they're not supporting either. They're just sort of saying she's on her own.
Yeah, she's on her own. That's how last night I told you guys that she lost her inheritance. Like, you know, she have to give up on everything.
Wow. Over in San Francisco, TK could see what was happening through his scouts on the ground and soldiers' posts on Facebook. He started to amass a huge amount of intel. He also knew where the underground groups and civil disobedience movement centers were in the cities. And when he saw the cops of the military coming for them, he was able to give them a heads up.
So whenever we have like information about from the, you know, some CDM soldiers, some CDM police, and then they give in the information ahead.
Yeah.
So we got the information.
Okay.
So like okay, those guys are going to the, you know, let's say okay, this place, and then within 1 hour.
Yeah.
So from that place, whoever live in the underground teams move out.
Get out.
Get out. Yeah. So that kind of things. With that, we save a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And then we got arrested people too, but we also save people.
Everyone we spoke to told us the same story. They went into the street thinking that if they made enough noise, the world would listen, and that the US or the EU or the UN would defend democracy and invoke their responsibility to protect innocent people being gunned down in the street. To quote from the online publication The Diplomat, endorsed by all member states of the United Nations in 2005, R2P advances a potentially revolutionary idea.
that state sovereignty entails a responsibility for a government to protect its population from mass atrocity crimes and human rights violations. When a nation fails to exercise this responsibility, R2P grants the international community the legal warrant to intervene. The doctrine authorizes the use of a range of coercive tools, with military intervention as a last resort. People in Myanmar thought that if they were peaceful, civil, and respectable, the governments of the world would do the right thing. The governments of the world, however, didn't give a fuck.
But yeah, so the protests are very, very peaceful. You know, it's when you go into the protests, it's very peaceful, very organized, very, they try to make it look so clean, so nice, because I guess, you know, no, it was at the beginning, they were trying to get attention from the international community, and they were hoping that someone will come in and say, you know, take down the military and put our government back. Yeah, a lot of people die. Just like there was a saying, like to UN, you know, people were saying, how many dead people do you need for you to take action, right? And there are people saying, if you need one more, I'll be that person. I'll just fucking die. I'll just get killed by the military so that you will come in and fix it and change the situation in the country, right?
Amira felt the same. She even organized a protest of 500 people displaying a map of the whole country on the river in Yangon. She called it a suicide mission, but she thought it would send a visible signal to the world and that it was worth risking her life to make the statement.
At the time, she didn't know anything about the politics, so she believed in R2P because people are protesting peacefully, but the government take the action, so other countries not going to wait and see, and then they're going to take the actions about that. That's what she believed in, and then she decided to go protesting peacefully to the end.
Okay. Did she think that other countries, United States, whatever, were going to come in and intervene?
Yeah, that's what she thought. Like, you know, when the war seal, the government take the actions, and the government are killing people, and then if the war knows, and then we can get a help from the other countries.
Where they did find support, within other countries in Asia fighting against dictatorship, they formed the so-called Milk Tea Alliance and drew on the example of Hong Kong to learn how to stay in the streets when the government doesn't want you there.
But then when it happens in our country, it's like, oh, fuck, where does it happen before? And then we went back straight away, Hong Kong. And there was, it's not just us, like there was so much infographics and like, you know, how to be in the protest, how to do certain things, depending on the situation. So we had a lot of information. We were looking through. And I think that these are the same thing that like people in Hong Kong used, I think.
But Hong Kong didn't have snipers shooting kids in the head or cops firing rifles blindly into crowds.
But then later on, like by the time we got to Yangon, people were sitting down and they were little protests. What the military does is they would come in and they would just start shooting everyone. There was no negotiation. There was no, hey guys, can you move? And then, you know, any of that stuff. They would come in and they would treat this as a battlefield. And it didn't take a while. It did take a while, I think. It took about like a month and a half for us to finally say, fuck the peaceful protests. Fuck the international community. They're not coming. If they would have come, they would have come a long time ago, you know, and we started fighting back. But when we say we fight back, it's like Molotov cocktails, slingshots.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Dr. Wonder knew exactly when and how police were killing. He would spend his days triaging people who would survive from those who might not make it. Soon, the worst nightmares of his medical team were coming true as the police began seizing his colleagues. The alleged crime of saving lives.
I remember before the military police and military men totally intruded our hospital. One day, I think at the middle of the May,
okay,
they totally intruded our hospital because they have heard our CDM doctors are doing operation at that hospital because we have no another place. Like that trauma center, we could give good treatment for that traumatic patient because we have to take a risk. So we're gonna take a rest. Soon, one of our contestants was arrested at that emergency unit.
Wow, okay.
Because he took also his risk. Because yeah. If he wasn't here, his junior can't handle that situation, you know?
Yes,
you know,
you have to
so many tens, hundreds injured patients on that day. Mostly are gunshot patients,
yeah.
You know, some are open abdomen,
yeah.
Open limbs. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have so many crises on that night.
Things only got worse.
Yeah, there was a pregnant woman who got shot, and obviously with the kid inside her, and she died. Because she accepted like 20 protesters in her house, and when they came, they shot her dead. And she wasn't like 5 weeks old. It's you can see that she was pregnant. And, yeah.
The military used straight up real bullets. Like
yeah.
They don't give a shit. They don't give a shit that the way the military control people is fear, right? So then they want people to see that if you go against me, you'll die horribly. And they shoot the head. We saw so many faces with holes, so many people with holes in their face. And it was fucked up and it was scary because every time you go out, you're saying that could be me. That could be my brothers. That could be, you know?
Very quickly, the revolution organized itself. Not with hierarchies, officers, or vanguard parties. The people who'd existed in those roles had already been arrested or fled. So instead, the revolution started with people giving whatever they could to the struggle and taking whatever they needed to get by. The revolutionaries we interviewed all initially thought that the struggle would be short, that the world would come to their aid. But even when it became clear that this was not the case, they continued to fight, under the logic that it's better to die than live with a boot on your neck.
Mm-hmm. They took all the leaders from the opposition side, so there was no one to tell us what to do. There was no instructions, right? So there was like 2 days of, okay, what the fuck do we do, you know? And then people started protesting, but small, like very small. And then I think after like 5 days, then there was like 200,000 people everywhere. Like, no, that I remember the first day we arrived. I mean, we haven't seen each other since COVID started. So it was like, ah, brothers, you know, back again and together. And then, yeah, it was quite fun for like one night. And then we were all hanging out and trying to plan what we're going to do the next day. So basically, we kind of planned that, like, each of us have a role. And our plan was to go out and kind of be like a media crew, right? So we're filming, we're writing news, we're posting on the internet so that everywhere else people can see it. So, yeah, two of us are like the camera people. And then these two, they look out for the roads and streets. Like, because these places we've never been, right? Yangon, in these areas. So whenever we go to a protest, we'll sit down or we'll walk around and take photos while these twos goes around and look for the fastest escapes. You know, if the military come in, what would be the best way to go? What would, you know, escape? And then him and another one, they kind of look after us. They look at the news to see what's happening around us. So that if there's a post on Facebook saying, oh, there's a military truck heading towards you, we kind of be prepared, you know?
You don't have energy to be here.
Yeah. So we had a lot of energy at that time. Yeah. It was like constant. We were going out, and you can see, like, he's always following me. Like, that's me and him. And he's always following me everywhere I go. So that if something happened, he can just grab me and run. Yeah.
While the boys and Andy were reporting, Amira found her calling on the front lines. It's almost impossible to stress how incredible she is. Before we recorded, she casually dropped into conversation that she also trained in knife fighting sometimes. We met her at a shooting range near Maysot and blasted a few paper targets together with a 12-gauge shotgun we'd been using for a bit of target practice. When it jammed, and it always jammed, she cleared the chamber and got it back into action with a practiced efficiency that any formally trained soldier would have recognized. In the revolution, it didn't take long for her to find her way to the front lines, and she's got the scars to prove it, including some from hucking a tear gas grenade barehanded back at the cops. Others adopted roles, too. Some picked up shields and took on the police toe-to-toe. Others supported protesters with medical aid and food and water.
So you can see the shield, 2, 3, 4, 5, to make it. And then you can see, like, they have these wet, like, plastic bags to, like, wash people's faces when they're tear gassed, or like to kill the smokes with the wet towels too.
Yeah.
And then there's someone always watering it, like you see here. Yeah. And this is all from the neighborhood, like they provided to us.
They built barricades and even developed a system of communications for when things were getting violent. This allowed folks who were not comfortable to get away, or at least that was the goal.
So the white flag means like we have this place, like this is our, but then the black flag means we'll fuck you up back. Like if you've done so much that we're going to fuck you up, you know, I have a video of it when it changed from white to black.
Their tactics improved over time. When one group got kettled, another group would pop up nearby and draw soldiers away.
Oh, wait, and then there was one time when one part of the city was under attack by the military.
Yeah.
A lot of protesters were trapped in there, and so we decided to go out. So every other part of the city came out at nighttime to protest so that these soldiers have to kind of...
Amira, too, came face-to-face with state violence.
She wants to take the action back because they are all protesting peacefully, and at that time she wants to have a superpower.
Yeah, maybe she does. What did she decide to do? What did they do?
At that time, she feels like she's going till the end. Mm-hmm. And then she will keep moving. And then she will participate in every role that she can. And then she will do as much as she can. That's what she decided to do.
We saw that picture of her in front of the car and it was burning.
Yeah.
What happened there? Were they throwing Molotov cocktails?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like smoke bombs and then something like that. Mm-hmm. And then she's trying to throw them back.
Oh, I've seen the picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she picked it up and then she threw them back.
Did it hurt your hand? Yeah, you have a scar. Fuck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Then
she got hit by the smoke bomb like twice. And then at that time, she lost everything. She lost her bags. Mm-hmm. She lost her phones. And then someone helped her to hold and then took her back.
Okay.
That's how she escaped.
Wow. They helped you. Do you know who helped you? Was it a friend or just a stranger?
Her friend is with her. Mm-hmm. And then when the tear gas hit them, and then the other strangers helped them. And then she got hit by the tear gas, and then she almost fainted and blacked out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Our doctor, who goes by Wonder, faced a difficult choice. Returning to the hospital meant risking arrest. The military could come in at any time to arrest injured protesters and the doctors helping them. But not going back meant letting his comrades die. As state violence increased, he decided he needed to help.
They killed so many peaceful protesters on that day. I think around about 100 or more, might be more than that.
We've seen this.
Yes. So on that day, you know, because we have already started civil disobedience movement on that time.
Yeah.
Because we didn't go to the hospital. That was ruled by that general.
Okay.
So we deal outside the hospital. You know, we manage temporary camp like that because for emergency injured patient. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was involved one of the campsite.
Yeah.
But actually we can deal.
Yeah.
Some of the injured people that may need for emergency operation, like that bullet. Go through to break the bones and open wound.
Yeah.
So, but we have to take the risk because we have to operate that patient. We go to hospital, trauma emergency department. We did our operation. I remember that night, one of the patients was shot down by police. And they chased, they followed that patient. We kept that patient in our hospital, in our ward. We did emergency operation on that night, and we emergency moved him out on that night because we can't keep him on that hospital because soon he just left our hospital.
Yeah.
The police just came and searched for him.
Okay.
So this is one of our experience because they just pointed their gun.
Yeah.
Where is that guy?
TK got on Telegram. Lots of people couldn't be on the ground fighting, but they still wanted to be part of the struggle. He had developed good connections with people on the ground. At first, that was just him desperately trying to stay informed. But soon he realized that he was well-placed to be doing the informing. With internet access cut off and VPNs slowing down, only someone outside the country with blazing fast Bay Area Wi-Fi could collate all the info coming in and turn it into useful, actionable advice for protesters on the ground.
At that time, we know nothing about it. Mm-hmm. No one's teaching us what to do.
Yeah.
So we have to do it. You know, like we have 70 people. So we have a meeting every day, every night. So we try to, you know, brainstorming what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
And then so we making the plans. And then we're making we're going to get the information from, you know, every single details that we can get. Mm-hmm. And then that's what we're going to share to the people. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to share to the underground teams and other people.
Within a few weeks, it had become clear that a diverse range of people, tactics and tools were going to be needed in the fight for freedom in Myanmar. Next time, we'll talk about how that fight took shape and tell you what it's like today.
Hi everyone, it's James here. I just wanted to note that lots of the words in the script are Burmese or Karen or Thai, and we've made every effort to make sure that we pronounce them correctly, but we're sure we've obviously made some mistakes along the way. That's not out of a lack of respect or out of a lack of re-recording on my part, but we did want to note that where we've made a mistake, we're very sorry for doing so.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.